One man, one mission, to equip the Church of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and awaken the Church to the voice of the Spirit. David Cuppett brings to you the School of the Holy Spirit from one of his many missions from around the world, where he aligns with apostolic leaders to eradicate spiritual blindness and reveal the true authority of believers in Christ, to prophesy, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. Open your heart and get ready to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you in this week's session of the School of the Holy Spirit. School is in session.
Just a deeper level of the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Not that you already don't know that, right? I mean, we had some good stuff. We had some good stuff come out here the last 24 hours. But I feel like the Lord wants you to wrap your mind around the power of his judgment, okay? Judgment in the church is often perceived as a curse word. Judge not, lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. And although that's scriptural, the context of it is don't condemn people, right? Don't wish condemnation. Don't wish they fail. Don't wish darkness on them, right? But the reality is Christ also said, love what is good, hate what is evil. And if you don't hate what is evil, you won't recognize the way Christ hated evil. Those are the words of Christ, right? And the purpose of Christ was to come and judge darkness, right? 1 John chapter 4, Christ literally came, right, to put his foot on the head of Satan. That's not a kind thing. That's a hunter-killer mentality, right? Say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, awaken in me your hunter-killer mentality to judge in righteousness and make war. Come on, awaken in me, Holy Ghost, the way you think, to not tolerate evil, but to judge it the way you judge it. In Jesus' name. You see, the Lord spoke. The first thing he did when he started his ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, bring sight to the blind, set the captive free, release those who are bound in prison, right? And he goes on, and there are interpretations that say this is the day of the Lord's favor, but that word is a unique word, favor. It's actually, it also has the meaning of vengeance, okay? So the vengeance of God is against your enemies. It's not against you. He's for you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to deliver people. He's here to deliver the demoniac. He's here to deliver those bound on drugs. He's here to deliver all people, right? But his enemy is the demonic world. His enemy is the serpent who comes to deceive the people of God, to whisper in your ear, right? And if you can't discern your enemy, you'll never judge your enemy. If you can't see your enemy, you'll tolerate your enemy, thinking, well, that's just the way it is. And so your prayer life, that violent prayer that a lot of you were in this afternoon, that actually opens your spirit to discern not only the voice of God, but to discern your enemy. What is common by mixture and made normal suddenly is spread apart to the point where Christ is way over here and darkness is way over there. And you can very easily discern between the two, okay? And within that is a hatred of darkness. I hate what Satan does to people. I hate it. I had a crazy wild friend. You need a crazy wild friend with you in this walk, by the way. We used to pray crazy prayers. Lord, I want to cast 1,000 devils out of people in 2006. And we did it. Lord, I want to cast 2,000 devils out of people in 2007. Come on, Lord. And we did it. We had practice after practice, man. Our church went from an 80-person storefront up to almost 1,000 people in 4 years. And we literally were pulling people in. The reason people would come is because we had a group of trained hunter-killers, prophetic people, snipers, anybody who came through the door. They were not leaving until they were baptized in fire. Demons were cast out of them, right? And they were literally lit in a supernatural way, because you may only get one chance with them. Why are you so bold in that, Dave? I thought you were supposed to just let them kind of, you know, get the feel. Be nice. Be this little nice Jesus. If you can't tell, this is a hot button with me. You know why? Because a lot of people think that people just smooth their way into Jesus and it just all fits together. And the reality is Jesus comes to reveal himself in power. And either your spirit will run to him or your spirit will run away from him. Coddling people doesn't work. You're just elongating the time that you have to babysit somebody who's not going to change. Come on, pastors. Come on, pastors. You don't hide the fire. You reveal the fire. You call them to their face to worship the one true God so that when they rise up, they know that they didn't get up on their own. It was the Holy Ghost that awakened them. Amen? Only the Holy Ghost. Everything else is a bunch of hogwash humanism. A describable, tolerant Jesus to all humans. It's kind of like that. What's that religion with all the symbols? All the major symbols coexist. They kind of merge everybody together and say, "Oh yeah, we just all worship the God, same God." No, we don't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You will either fall on your face and worship him, and if you do, you'll see the Father. But if you don't, you won't see him. Repent. Fall on your face. Amen. Right? There is no middle. There is no gray. If you tolerate, the more you tolerate gray, the more screwed up your thinking is going to be. There is no middle. There is no worldly rainbow in the church. There's God's rainbow that overcomes the world's rainbow. God's promise and not tolerance of what culture has made normal. Culture doesn't rule in the church. God's living voice rules in the church. It's the fire. Amen? Yeah, so I want to further your expectation in the vision of the Lord, okay? The dream and the vision. When the Lord gives you a dream and a vision, he's not only equipping you, he's empowering you. He's giving you authority, right? We talked this afternoon about how the Lord called Jeremiah. His hand touched his mouth, right? What's the hand? The Holy Spirit. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to touch him, to reveal the heart of God to him. And he says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And Jeremiah says, "I see the almond branch," right? Right? And the Lord says, "Well, have you seen? For I will execute what I let you see." Right? So your focus is on finding the vision, connecting to his vision, the will, and everything else falls into place. Everything else is a bunch of junk. You're just trying to be righteous and religious, trying to conform to what is perceived as a good Christian. Right? You get that one? But the point of the word of the Lord is it does two things. When he spoke to Jeremiah, he said, "I will empower you," right? "You will root up, tear down, and destroy demonic kingdoms. You will build and plant mine." So there's no such thing as build. You realize you're in a fallen demonic world. There are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places that have thrones. They have mantles. They own places. And when the Lord sends a man to a territory, he sends him with a cloth on him, a mantle, an ability to actually take authority over the prince, over the ruling spirit, over every entity that has ruled that place. And when you begin to take authority in that place, guess what happens? People get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People suddenly, their hearts are open to hear the voice of the Lord. It's the evidence of the outpour through a man, through a woman who has ruled a position, right? Have you ruled your position? Have you, number one, have you found your position? Have you found your call? Have you found your purpose? Because once you do, once you hear the Lord, right? Go to Saskatoon or Saskatchewan or whatever those Canadian cities are. Yeah, that one. He doesn't just send you without power. He puts a cloth on you to stand in the place, to sit on your throne, so that you can dethrone what has ruled there and kept the people spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind. Right? Why do you say that, Dave? Because when Jesus stood up in the temple, he said, "The Spirit is on me to open prison doors, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free," right? He's saying, "I'm going to baptize people in fire." It's the evidence of the rule of Christ. Amen? Say this, say, "Holy Ghost, give me a dream. Give me a vision in the next 7 days that reveals my calling. Come on, I want to know my call, and I want to be led by your Spirit to the place you're giving me authority to do Isaiah 61 work. I want to see thousands of people baptized in fire. I want to see thousands of people delivered from demons. Come on, Holy Ghost. I want my assignment. I want to walk in my authority in Jesus' name." You know, the word of knowledge is a supernatural thing. It's not just a man and a woman getting a picture. It's, we talked, right? Heaven invading earth. God is revealing his will, right? And in the first couple years of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, man, I have some amazing stories of just the Lord just like empowering me to speak things in different places. And when I did, just seeing just wild, wild miracles, okay? And it messed me up forever, man. What you see today is the product of just raw faith 20 years ago and crying out to the Lord day and night. Just give me a snippet. Just give me, I want to know your heart for the people, right? And so I was on a mission with an evangelist. Shelly and I were in, where were we? New Mexico, Arizona at the Navajo Reservation. And I get this vision. It's a simple vision. And I see the bread of heaven falling from the sky. Okay. And I see the people no longer looking to the pastor. I see them laying on their back and opening their mouth to receive the bread. Okay. That they would be fed by Christ himself. Okay. I was young in the spirit. I didn't even know everything that I was seeing. Okay. So I get up and I start to speak it. And some of the pastors, the evangelist that's with me, man, he was on it. He was like, "That is going to change this place." And he starts to prophesy, right? And he's prophesying out the vision that I saw, okay? You realize that when you pair up with each other, you can actually connect to the same vision. If you believe the vision, you can actually manifest the vision. Even if you didn't have the vision yourself, if you believe, like if Christy gets a vision, And Devin then says, "I believe what you saw. I'm going to pray into it. I'm going to prophesy together." People can come together in faith and manifest the vision. Okay? You can actually connect with Bob and Elisheva's vision and pray into the manifestation. Right? You get the picture? Okay, so... Oh, I got off track. So my story... I got to tell you the story first. So the evangelist that I'm with, he's like, "That's God. The bread of heaven is falling. The bread of heaven is falling." And he's prophesying for like 5 minutes, right? All of a sudden, the doors in the back of the church blow open, okay? They literally blow open and this wind starts circulating around the church. And I'm sitting there, dude, my hair's like, "Whoa, what is this? What is this?" And there were three witches. There were three peyote, not, you know, the witch doctor, peyote witches. they're sitting, right? And they're kind of doing their spell thing the whole time we're there. And they literally stood up and started taking off their witchcraft paraphernalia stuff, right? Their necklaces and all the markings and everything that, you know, were part of the curses and everything they do, and they're laying at the altar shaking and crying as the wind of God is literally swirling around the room. Okay? You believe in signs and wonders? Come on, man. You guys today were a sign and wonder. You were praying like madmen in the Holy Ghost. That's a move of God.
Yes.
Right? That's a move of God. So say this with me. Say this. Say, Jesus, if you can do it for that crazy Dave guy, you can do it for me. I want to see the wind blow. I want to see the wind blow when I prophesy. Come on, I want to see the wind blow when I release a word of knowledge. You promise signs to those that believe. I believe, Lord. Come on, send me, I believe. Send me, I believe. You know, when the vision comes, it's actually heaven invading earth. It's the judgment of Christ. His vision is greater than what the world has presented to you. You realize that? The world has presented you a picture. A lot of it's demoralizing. A lot of it's depressing. A lot of it is when your doctor says you're going to die in 6 months. Okay? But when the Lord speaks, it says the voice spoke into the darkness, right? And the darkness couldn't stop the light. The light overpowered the darkness. It's a picture of judgment. What the Lord says trumps what the enemy has established, right? What the Lord says uproots, tears down, and destroys what the enemy has built in your life. Who here battles depression? Who here battles fear, especially at night? Who here is tormented with tremendous anxiety? Those are real things. Those are pretty common. You know, a lot of that stuff's demonic, right? It's demonic. Oh, no, no. The doctor said that's just a physical ailment. And I just have this thought problem. My therapist says I just have to be calm. That's a lie from the devil. I got to go through the 10 steps of resetting my thoughts. Do you know you can't stop a thought? There's no such thing as stopping a thought. It's a runaway freight train. Thoughts are actually the whisperings of a spirit. You're either connected to the Holy Spirit or you're connected generationally to demonic spirits who have trained you to think a certain way. Oh, you're always going to be afraid. You're always going to be depressed. You're always going to be unable and unqualified. You're always, right? Until judgment comes into your life and the vision of the Lord raises you up and says, speak this against that thing, right? Speak this against that thing. Amen? You see, the judgment of Christ coming through a vision is a really supernatural thing. Okay, Jesus, when he spoke about the Spirit being on him, it's actually prophesied in Isaiah 11, verse 2. Then a shoot of Jesse will spring from his stalk, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. He's talking about the coming of Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, right? The Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The word knowledge there is not what you perceive as earthly knowledge. That word knowledge is connected to the word yada. Okay, it actually means intimacy. He's actually saying you'll be so intimate with the Spirit of God that the fear of God will walk with you. What you know in the natural becomes a secondary thing because it's who you know, not what you know. He's talking about knowing the person of the Holy Spirit, right? He's talking about being so intimate and so confident that your God has sent the Holy Spirit to you that you do not look according to the ways of the world. You look through vision according to the vision of Almighty God. That's a pretty big transition point. Because knowledge and what you see doesn't mean a thing, actually. It's what the Lord is saying which actually has all power. Okay? Because the scripture continues and he says, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. He will judge with the gift of true discernment. He will judge in righteousness. Okay, to discern is to discern according to the Spirit of God. He's saying you will not look with your natural eye all around you. You will not give ear to you're oppressed, you're depressed, you're a joke, you're never going to measure up. You won't give place to it. You will surrender to the Spirit until the Spirit speaks, and you will release what the Spirit is saying to you, which will judge that lying spirit saying you're a lie, you're a joke, you've always been messed up and you can't achieve. That's a joke, okay? Who hears whispers like that? Come on, man. Yeah. Can I tell you that it really never goes away? People say the bigger you get in the spirit, your life gets easier and easier. It's actually opposite. Because as a young group of Christians, the importance of spiritual fathers and mothers is teaching you how to war in the spirit. And the reality is most places, most church leaders don't know how to war in the spirit. So they just reproduce religious people. But if fathers and mothers spend 5, 10, 15, 20 years learning to discern the lie of the enemy and to confront it with the vision of God, learning to pray and intercede and dig in and pull what the Lord is saying out and release it against your enemy, guess what? It's not whether or not the voices stop. It's your heart on what you set your heart to, right? Because what you set your heart to, you'll quickly learn that you don't have to tolerate that lying, depressing feeling. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. You don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to live with it. When I got, you know how I learned to fight? I was a drunk alcoholic. I know that's a double negative? I'm surprised you didn't correct me. Corrected myself. I'm getting taught. My wife, my helper, is teaching me. You know how I learned to fight? You know, the reason I drank was not simply because I felt alone. I drank myself into oblivion to numb the voice, the depression, the oppression that came from my dad and the others down the chain. Okay, I grew up, and many of you grew up in homes, either your grandmother, your grandfather, your mom, your dad, somebody in the bloodline, severe oppression, significant fear, extreme anxiety, right? Come on, those are called generational curses. And so for the first 3, 4, 5 years, you know what? I learned that when I laid my head down in bed and I heard that voice, I rolled out of bed and said, well, devil, I guess you and I aren't sleeping tonight. Let's rock. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of fear to go. I command depression to go. You picked a fight with the wrong guy, because Jesus told me, he says, behold, I give you authority to tread on the serpent. And I put my foot on your head, devil. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. Go in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave my wife. I command depression to leave my son. In Jesus' name, I break your power. Go, devil. In fact, I release the anointing on my grandchildren. They will hunt you and they will kill you. They will not be afraid of you. They will go after you in the name of Jesus. Oh. You see, fighting and learning the war in the Holy Ghost is a nature. It's how Christ prayed. It's how Christ lived. It's how Christ demonstrated authority over the enemy. And when you learn to fight, your ability to take territory and rule a place will increase. You will increase as your warfare mindset increases. Oh, that's cancer? No, that's not cancer. That's a devil. Oh, why do you say that, Dave? You know, the Bible is filled with spiritual references, right? The epilepsy. Good one. Yeah, Mark chapter 9. The boy throwing himself in the fire. It said he had a spirit of epilepsy. What did Jesus do with it? Come out, come out, come out. What about the woman bent over, right? It says she had a spirit of infirmity. What did he say? Whoo, come out. Come out. Why were there so many demons cast out over the last 24 hours? You know why? Because you can't hide from me, devil. You can't hide from me, devil. I know my God. I know he's a hunter killer. I know he has sent me to deliver people. I know it. I say, I smell a devil. Woo, what is that smell? I smell a devil in here. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
Teach my hands to war. And my fingers to fight. Make me a hunter killer like you. Come on, liberation is coming into this place. Make me a hunter killer, Holy Ghost. Make me a hunter killer of my enemies in the name of Jesus. Man, this is so much fun. I love to do this. I love to do this. So not only is that the way Jesus did it, he didn't judge by the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye. He judged with discernment. He discerned what the Spirit was revealing, right? Why did he send the Holy Ghost? Why did Jesus say, stay in this city, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit? Luke 24, 49, he said, disciples, he said, don't go try to do this until I equip you. We got a whole denomination sending people to an altar and claiming they're good without the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, stay in this city until I baptize you in fire, right? Jesus is the baptizer, right? You can't baptize yourself in fire. Jesus baptizes people in fire. Why does he do it? Because the nature of the Holy Spirit that equipped Jesus to do his assignment is the same Holy Spirit he gives you. The same Holy Ghost. Jesus valued it so much, it was the only thing he gave in the New Testament. The only thing was the Holy Ghost. He could have given Ferraris to everybody. He chose to give them the Holy Ghost. Say this, say, Jesus, I give up my Ferrari. I give up everything. For your Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh, you're getting somewhere, folks. My gosh, your mind is suddenly getting singular. It's getting simple. Because you set your mind on what Jesus said was important. The one who would lead you into all truth. Amen? This Holy Spirit. So why is the Holy Spirit so important? John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will do three things. He will convict the world of sin. What does that mean? When he convicts you of sin, you actually have a mercy that you actually need God. Okay, that's a gift. You can't come to God without God. Okay? Number two, he convicts you of righteousness. What does that mean? Righteousness is a product of the voice of God that he builds you. He says, you are awesome. You are great. You are the one I've called. You are my son. You are my daughter. All those lies that said you can't, you'll never measure up, those are all lies, right? Those are partly demons, curses, and all the junk. And Jesus is literally reforming you. He's redefining you, calling you righteous according to what he wrote about you. There are books in heaven written about every one of you, right? There are. I'll talk about that maybe some other time. But the third thing Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes, number three, is judge Satan. Look it up. You should actually, if you're thinking about a tattoo, not that I condone tattoos, you might want to get John 16, 11, that your enemy is judged by the Holy Ghost. How many of you are having fun with the Holy Ghost judging your enemies? You should be having a field day. You should be feasting on demons. You should be feasting on these demons that cause your brothers and sisters and parents torment day and night and physical problems and all this stuff. You should be feasting on them. You know why? Jesus said it himself. When a demon is cast out of a man, it's cast out what? By the finger of God, the Holy Ghost, right? And the kingdom comes upon them. Why are people flopping around up here and shaking as demons are coming out of people? Because the kingdom of heaven is present, driving out the enemy. Satan is being judged. Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost, open my heart right now to discern your voice versus the voice of the liar. I want to align my heart with you to judge my enemy. Come on, I was born again in the nature of the Holy Ghost to judge darkness. I am not a victim. I am a hunter of it. I am not a victim. I am a hunter killer of evil. In Jesus' name. It's a pretty amazing revelation that you realize that Jesus sent you the Holy Spirit to hunt your enemy. And you've been trained by common Christianity just to, oh, it'll be all right. Just, you know, just hang in there. No, no, you need to be taught how to go to war. And when you win your war, you help your friends win their war. And when your friends win their war, then you get the whole dorms to win their war. And suddenly you have a body because you learned to fight in the Holy Ghost. In the nature of Christ. Everything Jesus did was about kicking the living daylights out of Satan. He's running around, casting demons out of people, the demoniac, casting demons out of the woman with, you know, the spirit of infirmity, healing blind eyes, healing deaf mutes. That was a spirit. I probably saw over 50 deaf mutes in 4 years in India. Can't speak and can't hear because the parents take them into the Hindu temple. They go in normal, and when they come out, they can't hear and they can't speak. And they would come, before the crusade, I'd say, is there any parent that brought a child who's deaf mute? And they'd bring them up, and we'd start praying for them. And all of a sudden, people are crying and shaking. Demons are being driven out, and these kids can suddenly hear and speak again. Can religions cause people to be demonized? Come on, church. If you sit under the wrong theology, even in a building with a cross on it, can you be demonized? What did Jesus call the Pharisees? Whitewashed tombs, dead men's bones. They knew the Bible. They knew the first 5 books of the Bible. And he says, you are of your father, the devil. Because they were moved by a demonic spirit and not the Holy Spirit. Jesus mocked them. He laughed at them because they didn't have the Holy Ghost and they tried to present themselves as righteous. They had a cross on the door of that synagogue. I'm just being facetious, but it's real. How do I keep myself from demonized bad theology? You keep it really simple. You surrender to the Holy Spirit and you let the Holy Spirit, once you learn the Holy Spirit's voice, he leads you through life. It says the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. Yes. Amen? So how does Jesus transfer authority? Jesus baptizes people in the Holy Ghost. He gets people to surrender their will and find the will of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Have you found the will of the Holy Spirit for your life? If I ask you to show me everything that the Lord has shown you in the last year, show me the book, show me the notes that you've taken of all the dreams and the visions and what your conversations have been with the Lord, who here has more than one page? Who here has more than 5 pages? Who has more than 10 pages? Oh my gosh, we're awakening an army in here. My gosh, you see, when you put your heart on what he has defined you as, It's not if you step into it, it's when you step into it. Amen? He will execute what? His vision, which is to judge what you're not and pull you into what he says you are. Amen? Your job is to put your heart on what he says. Right? Jesus said, believe all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. Right? In what the Lord says. So here's the deal. So Jesus gives authority. He says this in Matthew 16. He gives those who walk with him authority, right? Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus talking about the same thing as the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. So your job is to be positioned in your heart in heaven, symbolized by, I know what the voice of God is saying to me at any moment. Right? You see, people say, well, how can you just pull people up and prophesy over people all day? I don't know. I prayed like a madman in tongues for at least 10 years, anywhere from 3 to 6 hours a day. Okay? I hunted Jesus. I hunted him. I've had visitations. I've been taken to heaven. I actually was taken to heaven one time. The lion, Christ in the form of the lion, breathed on me, and he said these words. He said, tell my people that if they believe in my prophetic word, they will experience their portion. And when he breathed on me, dude, I was back in my chair, and I kid you not, I could walk down the street. I could walk into a room, and whoever you put in front of me, I could prophesy over any of them. Okay? I literally, for all day long, that can happen to every one of you, okay? It was birthed out of a prayer life, thirsting for what the Lord is saying. And what did I teach you this afternoon? I taught you about Isaiah 28, right? To whom will he teach knowledge? Meaning to who will he impart? Stammering lip and another tongue. Amen? Amen? So, last week you had a certain value of the gift of tongues. If you were a scale of 1 to 10, what would it be? But now, after the revelation, what's your value of the gift of tongues? And how high do you put it in your Christian walk? Knowing that if you pray in the Holy Ghost, your answer is not if it's going to come, it's when it's going to come. Right? The baby's milk, right? The baby cries and the milk flows. Amen? I need tissue. So, man, it's hot in here. Is that just me, or is it the fire of the Holy Ghost, a little bit of both? So here's the deal real quick. You want to walk like Moses? Do you think Moses had a call that's unusual, more unusual than yours? You see, Moses is not much different than you guys. Okay? In the Old Testament, a select few got exposed to the fire, but in the New Testament, Christ came to give you all the fire. You all have the opportunity to be exposed to the fire. Moses was called out of the fire, right? The fire is burning, the burning bush. All of a sudden, Moses turns aside and the voice of God is heard and everything changes in Moses' life, right? The next thing that happens is the Father says to him, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. Symbolizing that you will no longer walk according to your own will, you will walk according to my will. Have you taken off your sandals, church? Have you taken off your sandals and said, wherever you call me to go, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. Whatever you say to me, I will believe it and release it. Amen? That's what made Moses supernatural. He had to take off his sandals so that the will of God could be the primary purpose in his life. Because the Lord had a purpose. He heard the cries of the Israelites. He heard the people in bondage. He heard the people oppressed and depressed in slavery, being whipped and beaten, right? He heard their cries. That's what the scripture says. It's a picture of the same call of Jesus saying, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, bring sight to the blind, set the captive free, right? Moses felt the call in his heart. Oh my gosh, we're going to set these people free? Amen. And this is Exodus 3, by the way, verse 14. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Verse 20, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt. So the heart cry to deliver people is connected to the revelation that the Holy Ghost has come to judge Pharaoh. Holy Ghost has come to judge Satan, right? There's actually no deliverance without the judgment against the darkness, right? And so the revelation that you are going to have to battle, you are going to have to go to war, you are going to have to be willing to pray sometimes multiple days in a row, shaken because fear has gripped you. Amen? Because that thing is trying to intimidate you and do anything possible to keep you from saying yes. It's the only thing that can get you to fail is when you're deceived out of your assignment, deceived out of believing what the Lord has called you to do. Okay? And so how does God train Pharaoh? And this is a perfect example of a word of knowledge, right? Moses is like, I can't talk. He stuttered, right? What am I going to do? I can't talk. And he's given all these excuses. And the father basically says, Moses, shut up. Quit your whining and stick your hand inside your robe. Right? And Moses is like, can you picture this? He sticks his hand inside his robe. And the Lord says, take it out. And it's leprous. And then he stuck his hand back in his robe at the command of the Lord. He takes it back out and the leprosy's gone. And Moses had a revelation that when the Father speaks, he will do it. Why did he use Moses' hand? Because the hand of the Holy Ghost was actually going to be the hand doing the work. And all Moses had to do is believe that when he obeyed the voice of God and said, all Moses did was in shock because God showed up when he did what God asked him to do, right? Say this, say, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
train me
for war.
Train me to believe
your voice
above all things. I take off my sandals. Every excuse I have, I give it to you. And I say, I'm willing to be led by your voice into every battle that you call me to. Because I know the I am. Come on, because I know the I am. Because I know the I am is with me. In Jesus' name. You see, when the Lord trains you in words of knowledge, he's making you bold as a lion. He's making you so expectant that your gate is wide open. It's not just a crack door. It's like you roll out of bed saying, where are we going? What are we doing? Who's getting saved? Who's getting delivered? Where are we going, Lord? Come on, man. People say, like, how can you do this? How can you preach all day, prophesy all day? How do you do this? Because 20 years ago, I cried out, Lord, wherever you send me, if you would just give me an assignment, I will go wherever you ask me to go. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Please, Lord. I used to pray for people after church. Church would end at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays. Sundays, it would end at roughly noon, 1 o'clock. Shelly would leave me, man. She'd take the kids home sometimes. I wouldn't get home. I'd walk through the door at 12:30, 1 o'clock. She'd say, what happened? I cast the devil out of two dudes, prophesied over another one. Another one was shaking on the floor. Years and years of praying for individuals, asking, please, Lord, please set these people on fire. Amen? Come on, man. The field is white for harvest. Amen. Come on, you believe the prophecy? The Lord is saying, I am with you, North Bay. I am with you if you will set your heart on the field that is around you, recognizing it is white for harvest. Come on, didn't you ask that last night? Make me a harvester. Come on, say it with me. Say, Holy Ghost, make me a harvester. Come on, Holy Ghost, make me a harvester. I want to cast out their demons. I want to prophesy their destiny. For your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. How important is this? How important is the fire of the Holy Ghost? How many times do I have to say this? I have one assignment, that you would embrace the fire with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And if you don't think that's important, the Lord actually sent me 4 years into India working with thousands of pastors for the sole assignment of getting them baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, India was a mission field for American churches in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Hundreds and hundreds of denominational missionaries going into India. And whenever the Lord called me to India, He came to me in a series of dreams and He said, a man from India is going to call you and you will go. I said, yes, Lord. 7 days later, I get a phone call from this guy. He says, David, I saw you preaching on YouTube. Yeah. And I said, saddle up, brother. I'm coming. Let's go. I took $10,000 out of my bank account to set up the crusades and everything, believing what the Lord called me to do, willing to invest in what He assigned me to do. And the rest is history. But whenever I went over, I thought I was going to do crusades, but what I was really doing was to convert pastors, because all these denominations gave them a Bible and presented a Jesus that wasn't really powerful, right? He was just peaceful, okay? And the Lord sent me over there with an assignment. I mean, the message was like, you want me to get all these guys baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yeah. And so I go over and, man, just so many stories. But I went to this one place, and I had my interpreter was with me for several years. And we're in this place. He helped organize it. There's like 150 pastors in the room, okay? And they're doing some worship, and all of a sudden the Lord highlights a guy sitting in the back corner, okay? And I don't know if you know, the way India works is they kind of have this hierarchy, this big organized structure. It's very religious, and one guy at the top controls 50, 100, 150 pastors, and what he believes, they all believe. Kind of like an American denomination. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, I did. And so he highlights this guy in the back corner. And my interpreter's sitting beside me, right? I whisper in his ear. I say, you see that guy in the back corner? I said, the Lord is asking me to prophesy to him, and the Lord is going to baptize him in the Holy Spirit right now. And he looked at me, dude, he turned white as a sheet. He goes, no, you're not. I go, what do you mean I'm not? He goes, that guy's the head of all these pastors, and he does not believe in the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, you know Jesus picks fights, right? I don't know if I believe that. I said, well, if you're going to interpret for me, you're going to believe it. And if you don't interpret for me, I'll get somebody else. And he's sitting there and he's thinking, man, I was serious. I was like, if you can't release the faith I have for that guy getting baptized in the Holy Ghost in front of all the men that he's declared that Holy Ghost is not real, Jesus picks fights, baby. I didn't know the guy, but as I'm sitting here with my interpreter knew the guy. That's how he organized everything, right? And so we're sitting there going back and forth, and he starts to sweat. He's sitting there. I can see him, dude. He's like, he knows this either goes really south, or this gets all supernatural, right? And he's like, I don't know what to do. I said, are you going to interpret for me or not? And he goes, yes. The music stopped. They introduced me. I stand up. And I said, the guy in the back, He's staunch. He's back there. He's got it. He's all dressed up to the nines and all this stuff. And I said, come here. I said, the Lord has a word for you. He wants to speak to you right now. He looks at me and, dude, this guy started, he didn't know whether he was going to run out the door or come forward. And I said, he's talking to you. The Father wants to talk to you right now in Jesus' name. And he comes up to the front. Okay. And the vision essentially was that you've refused the fire of the Holy Ghost. And God wants you to know you have refused the fire of the Holy Ghost. And the future of all these pastors is in your hands. That's blasphemy. Oh, wait, that's a bad word. You know, Mark chapter 3, Jesus said, you can reject me, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, meaning if you reject my Holy Spirit, there is no life for you. There is no hope for you. You can act all religious all you want, but there's only one thing that gives you life, and that is the Holy Ghost. And dude, I'm rattling this guy's cage. Because that meeting was either going to end right there in 5 minutes, or the whole place was going to get set on fire. And this guy starts to cry, and he's crying, and he's talking in Hindu. And my interpreter says he wants to let you know he's sorry for refusing the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, the Lord's mercy is here for you today. He's forgiving you, and he wants to give you his Holy Spirit. And the guy puts up his hands, and he says, pray for me. I put my hand on his head. I pray for him to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The guy falls down and starts praying in tongues. He's laying on the ground, shaking. Ah, la 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 bo, da bra, ba, la bo. And all of his guys, like all of you, right? They're all like this. They're like, I thought we weren't allowed to do that. He's laying there and he couldn't stop anything because the power of God gripped him. And I said, do you all want the Holy Ghost? Dude, they all stood up, came forward. I didn't even preach that day. I prophesied. Jesus preached that day. He came to give you the one thing that he died for, which was to give you the Holy Ghost. And when you embrace his way, supernatural things can happen all around you. Amen? Say this. Come on. Come on. Say, Jesus, in every way, I've resisted your Holy Spirit. I repent. In every way I've been trained religiously to embrace Holy Spirit only 50%, I repent. I want the fire of God. I want the fire of God to speak to me. I want a prayer life that is supernatural. Come on, Lord, make me like Moses. I want to walk into places with your hand. To heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and to baptize thousands in fire. Come on, that's your assignment, church. I want to baptize thousands in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, 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 have your way in this place. Have your way in this place. You see, Jesus is expecting you to pick up your judging authority. He's expecting you to rule the way the Holy Ghost rules, to win, to dominate. To not take no for an answer. I have this vision. And I see that Christ has put a judge's gavel underneath all of your chairs. And suddenly I hear this alarm going off. Like this sounding alarm. And all of a sudden this gavel starts to preach. This gavel starts to whisper the voice of the Lord. This gavel starts to get your attention. I see people bending over and looking underneath their chair and grabbing hold of the gavel. And when they grab hold of the gavel, it's like the gavel has a mind of its own. Suddenly, serpents that you couldn't see are now seen. And this gavel is like not afraid of the serpent. This gavel starts to hunt the serpent. And you start in rhythm with the Holy Ghost. And you start to judge your enemies. You start to judge the enemies that haunt your friends. It's a significant vision. You see, a chair is a place of authority. You've been seated in Christ in high places, right? The gavel is the way Christ judges. That when Christ judges, the enemy can't, there is no, he can't refute it. They're powerless, right? And Jesus has paid the price that you would pick up your gavel and start expecting to beat the living daylights out of demonic powers. Amen? How is this connected to what the Lord is saying? Ephesians 6, for we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And Paul says, stand in the evil day. He says, put on your armor. And I've heard so many weird teachings about putting on your armor and making yourself feel good and just weird, you know, put your helmet on and start thinking right. And you know, the real meaning of the armor of Christ can be identified in one thing. He says, put on the helmet. He says, put on the breastplate, put out your sword, put on the shoes with the gospel of Christ, right? And he gets down to the bottom and he says, take with you your helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want to guess what that word means? It means rhema, the vision of Christ. Why am I so adamant about teaching you to hear the voice of God and to embrace what the Lord is saying? Because the vision of Christ is your helmet. The vision of Christ is your shield. The vision of Christ will put armor on your feet to go. The vision of Christ will be your belt of truth. It is spoken by the Spirit of God. It is all your armor. What the Lord is saying to you is your armor. Amen? That is what causes principalities to fall. That is what causes ruling spirits to fall. That is what causes your enemy to fall back. Because you learn to war. You learn to hold what he's saying to you at all costs and war against your enemy. Amen? You ready to take some ground, church? You ready to harvest? You ready to harvest North Bay? Can we get the worship team up there? You guys ready to harvest North Bay? You ready to win at all costs? You ready to pray without ceasing? Hola la basinto briana na machina masia. Ore mama mama masone ebrene. Amamanoma ando sombre alla lebeciola. Omasinde yamale alla la masoma ada. Ora mama mama masundo brea. Ki alla la bando hu pre ha se te te se te. Ola la masine mama mama di brea alla la baso. Ora mama mama makushe priya. Ora mama mama ndombre ala lebeshe. Yio mama mama kai te si pra ababa tabra. Hore shima. Thank you. You ready to take off your sandals? You ready to take off your shoes? Come on, church, are you ready to take off your shoes? Are you truly willing to take off your shoes and walk by nothing else but the voice that comes out of the fire? Come on, who's willing to take off their shoes? Come on, if you're willing to take off your shoes, I believe in prophetic acts. I believe that if you'll raise your shoes. Come on, if you'll raise your shoes. Come on, the fire is speaking to many of you. Come on, are you ready to take off your shoes? Ah, come on, fail. Oh, come on, Phil. Oh, come on. Phil, in Jesus' name. Come on, you ready to take off your shoes? Can I get an usher up here? Come on, say it with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I take off my shoes.
I take off my shoes.
To follow your voice.
Follow your voice.
Come on, fill Holy Ghost. Come on, fill Holy Ghost. Fill Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Fill Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Raise your hands. Come on. Fill Holy Ghost. Fill Holy Ghost. Fill. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Roho bre ala la basho. Kia mama mando hobre. Come on, raise your shoes. Come on, raise them. Come on, feel Holy Ghost. Feel Holy Ghost. Come here, Megan. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, feel Holy Ghost. Feel Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. I say your feet are anointed. Your feet are anointed. Your feet are anointed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Your feet are anointed. Come on, your feet are anointed. Your feet are anointed to follow the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Come on, fill. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, fill. Come on, come on, come on, girl, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, fill. Oh, rah, rah. Come here, Devin. Come here, Tyler. Come on, put your shoes on the altar. Come on, it's not your walk anymore, it's the Holy Ghost. Come on, it's not your walk anymore, it's the Holy Ghost. Come on, fire in Jesus' name. Come on, fire in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Ra da 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 show ho. Come on, fire! Fire! Come on, fire! 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 Come on, fill. Come on, fill. Fill, Holy Ghost. Fill, Holy Ghost. Fill, Holy Ghost. Come on, fill. Fill, Holy Ghost. Fill, Holy Ghost. Come on, fill, Holy Ghost. Fill. Come on, fill, Holy Ghost. 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 Ora ra ba 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 shunde. Kule anana ma sonde bria. Ore anana ma mandobre hanana na ma shoa. Ole anana ma simbre ala la ma shabre he be tia. Kora ra ma 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 sonde. Come on, I walk by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I walk by nothing else but the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I walk by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, fill, 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 Holy Ghost. Come on, fill, fill, fill. Ola la masi, ola la masha. Lombre mama masito. Rombre ala la voshembre. Kure ama mama masia. Shindele ana maso. Come on, are you guys ready to walk by the fire of the Holy Ghost? Come on, come here, both of you, come here.
What?
I didn't know who you were talking to.
Come on, hold your shoes up. Hold your shoes up. Come on, Lord. Come on, speak to her by fire. Speak to her by fire. Come on, come on. Fill! Fill! Come on, fill. Fill in Jesus' name. Fill in Jesus' name. Hola la masabre. Ah, come on. He's burning up all the reasons, all the excuses. He's burning them up. He's burning them up. And he's saying, Moses, stick your hand in your robe. Come on, stick your hand by your heart. Stick your hand by your heart, and you're going to feel my heartbeat. Come on. Come on. Come on. Roho samahashi, lemene mama maso, homene mama si bre ala lavashu, ore mama mama so. I'm going to switch over to the music. Can you put that music on? There were a lot of people that raised their hands when I asked about fear, anxiety, depression, oppression. If that's you, I want you to come up here. I want to pray for you. Come on, the Lord is teaching people to go to war. And he does not expect anybody to dwell in oppression, depression, fear, anxiety. Come on up here. If that's you, just form a line right here. All right, you're going to drive this demon out. I'm going to help you. But you are going to drive out the demon that has haunted you. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I've been given authority to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion. I've been anointed in the Holy Ghost to walk in peace, joy, and righteousness. My mind is not the devil's playground, and I refuse the lying spirit's voice. You have no authority, and I have all authority. You have no authority, devil, and I have all authority, devil. You have no authority, devil, and I have all authority in Christ. In the name of Jesus, I command fear to leave. In the name of Jesus, I command depression to go. In the name of Jesus, I command the oppressor to leave me now. In the name of Jesus, I command the destroyer to leave me now. In Jesus' name. My mind is not crazy. I'm at peace. Jezebel, leave me now. You will not silence my prophetic voice. I was born to prophesy. I was born to cast out demons. I was born to live in dominion. In Jesus' name, I curse you, anxiety. I release the judgment of my God against you. My God has cursed you, anxiety. You will dwell in hell forever. And I dwell in heaven. I curse you, spirit of fear. I release the judgment of God against you. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. Spirit of oppression. Every generational curse that gave you access to me. That curse has been paid for. And you have no authority. You have no right. Jesus became my curse. So I can live in his victory. In Jesus' name, I break every curse. Every generational curse. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus. I break your power. Generational oppression. Leave me now. Generational depression. Leave me now. Generational fear. Leave me now. Generational powerlessness. Leave me now. Generational addiction. Leave me now. Come on, generational addiction. Leave me now. I'm not addicted. I'm released in the power of Christ. In Jesus' name, I command every unclean spirit. Leave me now. Come on, leave me now. Go. Come on, go. 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 Come on, go. 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 Come on, go. 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 Go in Jesus' name. Go. Come on, go. 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 Come on, go. 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 Go in Jesus' name. Go. Come on, go. 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 Go in Jesus' name. Come on, go. 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 Come out. 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 Come on, I command you to come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, you lying spirit. Come on. Come on. I break that lie off of you. I command you to go. I command it to go. I command it to go. 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 Come on. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Christy, come here. Go. I command you to go. I command it. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. I command that generational depression. Go. Come on, go. I command it to come out now in Jesus' name. Come on, go, go, go. Generational oppression, go. I command it to come out. Come out. Minister to him. Come on, go. I command it to come out. Come on, anxiety and fear, go. Come on, come on. You're not afraid. You are 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 not afraid. You're not afraid. Come on, come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come here, Lord. Come out. I command generational anxiety to leave you. I command it to leave you now. I command it to leave you now. Minister to her. Get that demon out. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Fail, fail, fail. Come on, come on, freedom. Come on, I command that anxiety to go. I command that generational anxiety to come out now. Come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I command you to come out. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come on, I command every unclean spirit, go right now. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on, generational anxiety, I break your power. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, you're not afraid, girl. You are bold as a lion. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, come out. Come out. Come on, I command you to come out. Generational anxiety, I break your power. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out now in Jesus' name. I command you to go. I command you to go. Come on, I command you to go. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're not afraid. You're not afraid. That's a lying spirit. I break that lie off of you. I command it to come out. I command it to come out in Jesus' name. Come on, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out now in Jesus' name. Hora rabba baba boshe, hola lebre. Can I pray for you? What do you struggle with? All right, in the name of Jesus, I command anxiety to leave your body now. I command your body to be a